Mirel was fascinated yet puzzled by the night meeting of Earthman and Martian. Each a phantom to the other, one day she would understand that it was a fleeting encounter between two ages, across an abyss of time. She loved the graceful sand ships gliding over the deserts, the flame birds glowing on the cool sands, the golden spiders throwing out films of web, the boats drifting like bronze flowers along the wide green canals. And she wept when the crystal cities crumbled before the invaders from Earth. "From the Mars that never was, to the Mars that will be," said the sign at the entrance to the last gallery. Captain Singh couldn't help smiling at that will, typically Martian in its self-confidence. On tired old Earth, the verb would have been may. The final exhibit was almost old-fashioned in its simplicity, and nonetheless effective. They sat in near darkness behind a picture window, looking down upon a sea of mist, while the distant sun came up behind them. "Mariner Valley, the labyrinth of night as it is today," said a soft voice above a background of gentle music. The mist dissolved beneath the rising sun. It was no more than the thinnest of vapors. And there was the vast expanse of canyons and cliffs of the mightiest valley in the solar system, sharp and clear out to the horizon, with none of the softening by distance that gave a sense of perspective to similar views in the far smaller Grand Canyon of Western America. It was austerely beautiful, with its reds and ochres and crimsons, not so much hostile to life as utterly indifferent to it. The eye looked in vain for the slightest hint of blue or green. The sun dashed swiftly across the sky. The shadows flowed like tides of ink over the canyon floors. Night fell. The stars flashed out briefly and were banished by another dawn. Nothing had changed. Or had it? Was the far horizon no longer so sharp-edged? Another day, and there could be no doubt, the harsh contours of the terrain were becoming softened. Distant cliffs and scars were no longer so sharply defined. Mars was changing. The days, weeks, months, perhaps they were really decades, flickered past. And now the changes were dramatic. The faint salmon hue of the sky had given way to a pale blue. And at last real clouds were forming, not tenuous mists that vanished with the dawn. And down on the floor of the canyon, patches of green were spreading where once there had been only barren rock. There were no trees as yet, but lichens and mosses were preparing the way. Suddenly, magically, there were pools of water, lying calm and unruffled in the sun, not flashing instantly into vapor as they would on Mars today. As the vision of the future unfolded, the pools became lakes and merged into a river. Trees sprouted abruptly along its banks. To Robert Singh's earth-conditioned eyes, their trunks appeared so slender that he couldn't believe they were more than a dozen meters tall. In reality, if one could call this reality, they would probably outtop the tallest redwood, 100 meters at a minimum, in this low gravity. Now the viewpoint changed. They were flying eastward along Mariner Valley, out through the chasm of the dawn, and southward to the great plain of Hellas, the lowlands of Mars. It was land no longer. As he looked down upon the dream ocean of a future age, a flood of memories poured into Robert Singh's mind with such overwhelming power that for a moment he almost lost control of himself. The Hellas Ocean vanished. He was back on Earth, walking along that palm-fringed African beach with little Toby, with Tigret padding close behind them. Did that really happen to him once upon a time? Or was it a false past, the borrowed memory of another person?